One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Oh, hello! Welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And this is a horror movie podcast where we spoil a horror movie just for you.
Just for you guys. Hallie, how you doing?
Life continues. Nature will find a way. Mm-hmm. It's been a minute since I talked about my ADHD journey, but it continues apace. And I have reached a level of, there's a very classic ADHD phenomenon where, if you're listening to this, where you create piles out of everything you own.
Oh.
And my dear friend Jess Burkle, who has appeared on the podcast before as a guest co-host, refers to it, I refer to it as squalor, and he refers to it as the squalor to make me feel better.
Oh, I like that.
The level of squalor in my home right now is truly... One for the record books. And I really struggle with that as something that I have, that is what I tend towards when I'm not, you know, sort of, how to say, living my best life. That's not what we're talking about, but it is, it's just, I'm deeply ashamed of it and I don't want anyone to see it, which makes recording in my apartment so anxiety inducing. Yeah, but I don't think you can see anything horrible.
I can't see it. All I can see is your gorgeous hair and your fabulous color and a little bit of a very mid-century modern looking lamp. The end.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. How are you doing, Allison?
I'm good. New York, I guess, the lantern bugs.
They're back?
Yeah. But
spotted,
they're like really...
Bugs? Is that what they're called?
They're like the red and white spots.
They are beautiful.
They are beautiful, but they're back and I've been seeing... They've been hanging out on my balcony and I really want to be able to walk in and out without being afraid that they're getting in, so I can water my plants and dry my towels out there. And boy, they're littler. Like, I remember like seeing the full-grown ones last year. Now they're like really tiny. I killed one earlier on the street, but I guess I have to just stay vigilant. But they're back.
Are the little ones, are they like the juvenile version?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe they're like, this is for the new season. I don't know.
Ooh, but for the new season, a fun new look.
Everybody's a small bug now.
I meant to send it to you. Fuck, I'm sorry. I should have done this earlier. There's somebody posted a TikTok video of somebody is learning the acoustic guitar and has their sliding glass door open behind them.
Oh, I've seen exactly what you're talking about.
And a hawk flies in.
Flies in, and their dog, is their dog or cat?
I believe their dog, yeah. Goes
their
nuts.
Dog is freaking out, and she's like, shut up, stop it.
It's
stop,
like I'm playing.
I'm
learning my Anna DeFranco.
I'm learning songs. And then she turns, and there's a giant fucking hawk sitting next to her on her couch. It is so... And then she like freaks out and like runs away and the camera catches like the hawk finally flying out. But
yes, and her soda spills on her computer, which is the most tragic aspect of it.
It is really horrific. But I have 100% seen that, and it is truly terrifying. But also like That's why I don't like leaving windows open without screens.
Also, with a cat, you can't be doing that. I feel like you turn around and you just see Riz being swept into the sky.
No, no, no. He's an indoor buddy. Hey, buddy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Take a nappy.
This year, I am gonna get a dog. By the end of the year, that's what I'm thinking. I'm really
no rats.
I just look at the way I live, and I'm like, I just don't think rats.
They might already be there for all you know.
Oh, absolutely. I can't. I literally lived with a mouse in my last apartment in Queens, and I was just like, I can't fix the situation. So it is what it is. Yeah. Introducing rats to the squalore feels a bit
that
much.
Feels like a hat on a hat, really.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It already looks like that. I probably have rats in here. I can't
a hat on a rat. Runs. Ideally.
And now I'm back on board. Okay.
I mean.
No, but I do want a dog. And I mean, listen, I could make little hats for my dog. I feel like I'm on that kind of path.
Oh, absolutely.
And no one can stop me. This is America. Before they take away that fucking right. I'm sorry. That's not the fucking Constitution, you fucking idiots. I'm going to make tiny hats for my dog. You can fucking choke on it. So if someone could send this episode to Samuel Alito, that would be great. But in the meantime, this is our last episode. Oh, yes. Not as many Tuesdays in July because the
holiday.
And just like the way that the first August 1st is on a Tuesday, like just the way that the days
it all lined up. So we only had a few episodes, but I feel like we really made them count.
We really did, and we always try to. And the final one of Jaw Dropper July is an off requested movie that we hadn't done yet, and it is Hard Candy. Starring Elliot Page and Patrick Wilson. I'll tell you, this really stuck with me. Did I see this in the theaters? Jesus, I might have. It's a tough look. We always like to have Allison watch the trailer. Mm. Allison, what are your thoughts about the Hard Candy trailer?
Ay, ay, ay. I mean,
you said it.
That's how I feel about it. It's a very, it's like, it has all of the things that are like very scary to watch. And like, I think I vaguely remember this trailer, like this coming out. Like we were in college, I guess.
2005. Yes. I saw this. Yeah. At college. Yeah.
It's pretty chilling. Like to think of like being a young person, this, you know, it feels like there's so much going on in the terrifying space of like abduction, catfishing, predatory age gaps. But then, you know, as a almost 40-year-old woman watching this, I'm like, damn, he's so hot.
Oh, interesting. You know, and that was actually going to be my baseline scary. How scary is a fact that sometimes pedophiles are hot? How scary do you find that fact?
I mean, it's like the thing is, hot people can do anything.
And we let them get away with it.
And we let them do whatever they want. And we shouldn't. No, but it is like, I mean, it feels like the best disguise. Like the scary, like,
yes.
Where it's like, if you're like a handsome man in his 30s, like, no one's suspecting you of...
The world is your oyster.
Pedophilia and crimes.
Which is interesting, because I feel like that's a big decade for that kind of thing. You can get a lot done if you're committing pedophilia and crimes, if you're a... in this case, white man in your 30s. Yes. I feel like under the guise of hotness, we allow horrific things to happen. And it is interesting how I'm the same way. I'm not saying I'm any better. But there is there is a part of culture that we're all indoctrinated to where it's like, well, it can't be that bad. They're hot.
Yeah. There is something about that like our brain is like, but they're appealing, and appealing people don't do, like, it's just so strange.
Both sides of their face are symmetrical. How could they be evil?
Yeah. They're not like one weird tooth and then lazy eyes. I mean, that's most of us.
Yeah. And I do feel like it's like how we code disability as evil and also queerness as evil.
And
like,
queerness.
Oh,
and
the other
fatness,
is evil. Rather than, boy, if you look at history, a lot of evil done by a lot of just regular guys, regular guys and regular jobs. And you wouldn't necessarily know. And yet we're so shocked every time.
So shocked.
We watch a pedophile that, like be like a werewolf or something.
Yes.
But instead they turn us into werewolves, which is interesting.
Yeah.
That is one of the hard parts of watching this is Patrick Wilson is a handsome man.
He's a handsome man.
And something observed on Twitter where it's like, to be as talented as Patrick Wilson and be committed to not really being famous. Like, he's been in everything with everyone, but he's still someone that occasionally I'll see and be like, what is that motherfucker's name?
Yeah.
Oh, right. It's Patrick Wilson.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, very horrifying trailer. Very handsome man. Reconciling that in my brain as we speak.
Speaking of a handsome man, I consulted with a transmasculine coworker and friend of mine. Shout out to Ari, another of the Crooked family, about basically how to use pronouns with regards to Elliot Page, who
absolutely going to be a question of mine when we're talking about a role from the past. And
yeah. And because right now Elliot Page, you know, in real life, obviously is he, they, and I really want to read his book because
I've heard it's great.
Yeah. It's interesting to think about his career as a trans masculine person, as a trans man in Hollywood. And God, I just feel so bad because I feel like every time a conservative needs to like come up with a trans person in Hollywood, they're like, there just aren't that many. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Elliot Page is
everybody
constantly
becomes
the
target.
He did some interview where like, oh, he looks horrible. It's like, you think that this isn't psychologically very difficult on every trans person to like, right, like you have to go and be like, I wrote a book, please. You know, like,
and then, yeah.
He doesn't look thrilled. I don't know.
No.
But based on some research online and consulting with my friend, basically we're going to refer to Elliot Page, obviously by his pronouns in real life, and then refer to the character as she, her, because the character is a girl, you know, a cis teen girl in the context of the movie. Yes. And that seems to be kind of the standard of how people talk about people who have worked and then transitioned. So we're going to do that. If anyone has any thoughts, feel free to message us. We obviously want to be respectful.
We are open to all of the learning that there can possibly be on treating people respectfully and appropriately in this kind of like
new,
confusing.
Up, so.
You know, we're figuring it out, and please,
like, we're dumb
help
as fuck.
We're so stupid.
We're so fucking stupid. But we're gonna really try our best here. Yeah. So before we get started, Allison, based on the trailer, which again, your only takeaway was Patrick Wilson is hot. Based on the trailer, would you like to guess the twist in Hard Candy?
Guess the twist.
Now, I have not seen this movie, nor do I really remember discourse about it, but I do have a guess from the trailer about the twist. My guess is that Elliot Page's character actually catfished him, Patrick Wilson, because Elliot Page's character knew that he had been predatory towards other people that they knew. And instead was like, I will be the bait to trap and kill this man who has been hurting other people.
Well, Allison, I think you hit the nail on the head with that one.
I mean, the trailer also, like, I mean, I don't know. It gives you a lot to work with.
Yeah, and shout out to it was directed by David Slade, written by Brian Nelson.
Also, like, there is nothing funnier to me than names that are similar to other names. Like, David Slade being so close to David Spade. I'm just like... It just always is funny to me. And Natasha and I always think it's so funny. There were like two guys in college who had very similar names. And we would just like laugh and laugh. And they're like, they're just our names. Like, I don't know what to do here.
This is totally a non sequitur, but just you mentioning colleges. And when I went to college, everyone at Notre Dame is named Steve or Mike a man. And if you're a woman, it was, I think, like Lauren or Catherine. A lot of Katie's.
And that makes sense.
Recently, a gentleman that just, you know, just like someone that you knew, like in passing, I had mutual friends. I'm on a college chat, as we all are. And it came up, this person who just, a Steve, randomly came up. And someone said, did you know that this motherfucker invented a, like a sex app or not sex act. I mean, shout out to anyone who's still
if you're making up a sex act at this point,
yes.
I think it's all been done, but keep going.
That's awesome. Good for you.
Good
honest
for you.
To God. You can fucking relax after that. He created an app. I'm trying to find, his name is not in an article with the app, but I get that, you know, whatever. It is, the app is called Hetero, H-E-A-D-E-R-O, the only hookup app for oral pleasure and inclusive sexual exploration. So it is a sexuality and gender inclusive app for people to get together and give each other head.
I love it.
And it has currently on Apple, it has 3.1 reviews. Okay. And I was like, of all the Steves, I mean, maybe just like, and I'm sure at your college maybe it was different, but like, there is no Steve that I knew at Notre Dame that I thought would be coming out with hetero. No. Also, it doesn't seem like that's if anything, the problem with it is a confusing name because it's not just hetero.
Yeah, when you it first like said it, I was like, oh no, what is this? I know it's like a Catholic college or whatever.
Yeah, and so I think the larger problem, which seems to be the reviews I'm reading, is that there aren't a lot of women on this. I think that's probably a problem. It's sort of the Ashley Madison problem, where it turns out, yes, like most of the women were bots or whatever. And I just feel like they're all the other apps that exist, like Grindr, Field, those are also oral sex apps, should you choose to use it. So
yeah, just to ask for what you like.
Yeah, and I think it's just sort of like, it's a good idea, but it is perhaps... There, it might not have the base of people moving just for getting head.
Just for getting head.
Yeah. That perhaps would be my takeaway. Anyways, shout out to whatever Steve that was. Hey, you got to try it. Again, inventing a new app. If you're out there, if you invent a new sex app, let us know. I guess if you invent a new sex act, let us know. But do it in a courteous way. You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't be gross about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess if you really did invent something new, please let us know. So let's begin ruining, hard candy. We open on a chat. Allison, living in a rural area, my first six, I wasn't really in chat rooms. I was just on AIM and it wasn't that much because we had dial up and I also had two siblings. So it was sort of like, we were constantly fighting over the, so I was never like, I am in a chat room. I am meeting people. I'm talking to people. Did you have that experience?
I think when AOL kind of like first came into all of our homes. I remember like me and some girlfriends like kind of huddling around somebody's home computer, like getting in a chat room and being like, there's three of us. Like just kind of not know. Like we were like, you know, 12 or 13 maybe. But most, I would say like almost all of my use of kind of the internet in those days was just AIM, like messaging other people that I knew.
Yes.
Like, I wasn't really, like, interested in the stranger elements of the internet. Stranger, yeah. Stranger as in people I don't know, not, like, the stranger elements.
And that was always, like, one of the first things. It's funny, and people always make this observation now. It's, like, one of the first things we were told is, like, you can't trust a stranger on the internet. Do not talk to adults.
Don't give anybody your information.
It's, like, those same parents being, like, did you read that gum turns people trans? It's just like, I read it on Facebook, like, from insaneconspiracytheories.net, you know, like, okay. we couldn't keep it together. But yeah, I was never in a chat room. I often think, like, if I knew I was queer when I was younger, like, would I have been online more?
Yeah.
And I mean, and what that would have been like. And who knows? Because what this suggests is perhaps that's not a great experience. Yes. And we see two people chatting, Lensman319. And then Thong Girl, all R's, so three R's, 14. So in case you're like, oh, is this person 14? It's 14. Yep. No, I think after Catch a Predator, I don't think this applies to anyone who's listening, but you know that this is all a sting. Like, it's just like, if you were so fucking depraved as to try to meet underage teens now, know that it will end with you going to prison and having your life ruined, right?
Absolutely. As it should.
As it absolutely should. Also, what was your AIM name? Do you remember?
I think it was like swim, something with the word swim in it, because I was swimming.
And they wrote that movie about you, Swim Fan?
Yeah, Swim Fan. That's about me. It was like Swim Girl 105 or something. Like, it was just like a and I remember like one of my friends was like, it was like Swim Guy something. And I don't remember the specifics, but it was like something like that.
Yeah, I think mine was so Smalley, like Small YK, because I was, we all had smell based nicknames. So it was like my friend Michelle was Miss Smell, Kelly was Smelly, I was Smalley. Mm-hmm. I believe it was Smalley K84, because that's the year I was born. So think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And we see them chatting, and Lensman 319 says, so should we finally hook up, baby? And Thong Girl 14 says, I'm not a baby. I keep telling you. Do you think a baby reads Zadie Smith? And so immediately she's trying to prove that she's older.
Yes.
And Lensman replies, I don't know. Babies pretend to read. Allison, have you ever seen a baby pretend to read?
I mean, they do love holding those crinkle books, but
they're always upside down.
They're not fooling me.
That's fair. That's fair.
Nice try, baby.
Nice try. You're a fucking idiot. We know you can't
read. That's upside down, baby.
we see our protagonist, Haley, played by Elliot Page, typing. Oh, so you study babies? Girl, unfortunately, he does.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of his whole deal.
And he replies even, the only one I study is you. It's like, okay.
Enough.
Like, when you acknowledge it, it's not, like, it's like, have some decorum. But, of course, yeah. He doesn't, which is why he's going to meet a 14-year-old girl in real Gross. Life. And she's like, well, what are you doing right now? He says, besides fantasizing over you. And she says, you know, you could film me with your camera. Then he wouldn't have to fantasize. I was like, they need to catch this predator. I already
catch this predator.
Like, just the anxiety of this exchange. And he says, oh, you know, that's very doable. And she replies, just like me, I'm kidding. But my big sister could drop me off at Nighthawks, which is a coffee shop in their town. In an hour, I just need to shower if you want to meet me. And he says, okay, great. I'll meet you and I'll picture you in the shower. And they have this like flirty little exchange. And I think that this is, like, why the movie works, is that Patrick Wilson is so hot. I think if it was anyone even a drop less hot, you'd be like, I will shoot this man in the head myself.
100%.
But you see, you're like, I visually am not disgusted, so I will allow this to play out.
There is something about it where you're just like, all right, let's see what he's going to say.
Allow it. Not really, allow like, it. Unfortunately, like, it is like hot people. It's like, all right, I'll allow this. I'll watch this at least. So he arrives. He's got his camera out. So, like, you know where we're headed with this. Yeah, and he finds Haley, of course, played by Elliot Page, who is eating chocolate cake and is, like, is playing to it in a, what was the name of that movie? Young White Female. What was it? I didn't see it. The one
I don't
that
know
was what? Nominated for Best Screenplay. White Women, Blondes, Promising Young Woman. So the Promising Young Woman of it all is that you could tell...
We got there.
Haley is, like, playing into what a predator's idea of a teen girl would be. Which is like, oh my gosh, like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I have chocolate frosting in my mouth. It's like, well, yeah, you were eating a piece of cake. You know, it's just sort of like, I just wanted to be so sophisticated when you come in. And it's Elliot Page, and then also... Like, he has a little pixie cut. So it's like, Haley looks even younger than she is. Yes. And I will say, I remember, like, the gauntlet between, like, 11 and 14 of having, like, creepy men come up to me. And I'm a very, like, privileged white cis woman. So it's like, even I remember, like, those experiences in, like, the most privileged thing. I'm like, that shit fucking damages your brain.
It truly does. Like, we don't talk enough about how damaging that time period is where you suddenly go from being, like, a true child to still being a child, but looking like a woman.
And the way that adult men...
Or, like, having some of the appeal of a woman that, like, these fucking men are like, oh, she's got tits now, I can talk to her. And it's like, absolutely. You can't.
I remember, like, being 11 in the fifth grade, like, C-cup boobs, like, you know, an adult woman's body, 11-year-old mine. I remember being at the beach and having a guy, like, come talk to me and essentially try to get me in his van. And fortunately, I didn't do it. I knew enough. I had received enough information to be like, well, I'm not going to do that.
No.
But it was just sort of like, oh, I guess it's just like, I'm supposed to accept this as part of life. Because I've been warned this will happen. It wasn't like, this is horrible and we're trying to stop this from happening.
Right.
It's just sort of like, like some disgusting man's going to try to kidnap you. And that's just going to happen to you.
So just don't do it.
And we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to fix that because we're gonna really get rid of the patriarchy this time. And I'm only a little bit joking. And she says, oh, do you want some of this cake? It's delicious. And just as sure, and he, like, wipes the frosting off her lip and pops his thumb in his mouth.
Oh.
I think they're setting up, it's like, it is Patrick Wilson. Like, it is, like, if you were 14 and Patrick Wilson talked to you, you'd be like, I'll talk to him. You know, like, of course, you know.
I'm 39, and I'm like, talk to me.
And it's like, but you know, as soon as he takes the frosting off Haley's mouth, like, he's dead. Like, he will be dead during the movie at some point, sooner rather than later. And she's like, I'll be honest, like, you don't see, like, the kind of guy who has to meet girls online. It's like, well, yeah, because he wants to meet children online.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right.
And he's like, you know, it's so much better to meet people beforehand and really get to know them. Like, I know from being a photographer, like, people's faces can lie. And she's like, well, does my face lie? And he says, let's see. Your face says you listen to John Mayer and you love Monty Python and you love chocolate. And she's like, oh, that's great. Like, you're, like, an excellent judge of character. You do that. It's like, oh, no. You're 14. And he's like, actually, if you want more chocolate, she orders, like, candy, and they take a seat, and he sort of starts quizzing her on her life, you know? And she's, like, talking about the book she's reading. In between them on the cork board, Allison, we see a missing poster for a girl named Donna Moyer.
Mm-hmm.
And in their conversation, in a way that I'm not saying no 14-year-old would do, but no 14-year-old with an adult man, I find that hard to believe, keeps dropping these, like, very overly sexual, like, flirty lines.
Yeah.
Again, I've never met a 14-year-old that wasn't, like, screaming at their mother at the mall. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's really more where you're at, like...
Yeah, just kind of, like, angstily growling in, like, a limited two dressing room.
And trying not to get your period in gym class. Like, yes. It's more that's what you're trying to work on, you know? And he says, well, what are you reading? And she says, oh, a book about Jean Seberg. She slept with all the wrong people and ended up killing herself. And just like, well, I hope you don't do that. And Haley laughs and says, no, I plan to sleep with all the right people. And again, it's like, that's just, that's
you
not
wouldn't even
what
know to say that at
no.
that age.
You would just be like, goo, boo. And she's also reading Romeo and Juliet, of course, Star-Crossed Lovers. And she said it's a 9th grade book. So she also keeps bringing up her age, you know?
Yeah.
It's a 9th grade book, but I'm trying to finish it before the end of the summer. So she's not even in high school yet, right? And there's a big textbook in her bag. And he's like, what is that? And she goes, oh, and she covers it up. She's like, you know, my dad let me audit one of his med school courses. And he's like, oh, so you must go to UCW and, like, sit with all the grad students. Do they hit on you? She's like, no, they wouldn't hit on a 14-year-old. They're old enough to be my dad. And then she realizes that he's old. And
yeah.
She's like, no, but they're bad older, not like you. Like, you're, like, cool older, you know? And Jeff's like, well, you know, you act really mature for your age, and you're definitely older. And again, she's sort of, like, fluttering her eyelashes, and she's admiring. There's a T-shirt for the coffee shop that has Nighthawks. Who did Nighthawks? The piece of art where it's people at a diner. Hopper. Edward Hopper. There we go. She's like, well, that's a really cool shirt. He's like, how about you get it? How about I get it for you and you try it on for me? So she goes to change into the bathroom and he's like waiting outside the door. And she's like, God, I hate not being able to drive. I missed Elizabeth Wurzel when she was at USC and I missed the Goldfrapp concert, you know? He's like, this is crazy. I actually went to that concert and I have a bootleg MP3 of the concert I'll send to you.
Wow, this is the most 2005 thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I was like, damn.
MP3. Granted, I couldn't tell you what we record these as. They could this could be an MP3 for all I know.
I think it is a bootleg MP3, I'll be honest. And she's like, oh, you're gonna forget, you're gonna go home, and you're not gonna email it. How we just go to your place and listen to it, basically. And he's like, listen, I have to wait. I'm going to wait 4 years for you. I think you could wait a couple hours for me to email this and you can listen at home. But again, she's not going to be put off. She's on a mission, right? And she's like, you know, I really want to listen to it. He's like, well, what's the alternative? I bring you to my house? I just met you. You're 14. And she's in the restroom changing and they're flirting through the door. And she says, nope.
Is anyone else in the coffee shop like, oh, that's weird because they didn't show up Allison, together and he doesn't seem to be her dad.
If I saw this, I would call 911.
Absolutely, like, immediately.
And I know it was different. I guess it was, God, it was almost 20 years ago. So maybe okay, like.
That sucks.
And I will say, and this is, I was just thinking recently, like, I definitely feel like. It being, you know, coming out later, it's like all the things I sort of accepted as like just true in reality. And I remember being so shocked when people were like, men can't catcall us anymore. I was like, we can ask them not to do that, because I feel like our age, we're so entrenched. Like, this is just what men are like, and we can't ask them to change. And even that, I was like, well, why weren't we asking them not to do that? Like, no. What do you mean? But in a hopeful way. So this was kind of right along that, where it's like, what if things could be a little bit better? Also, remember when this is time period was also the question of, are women funny? God, we've come a long way in 20 years.
Have we, though?
Well, it's things we have, but that's why there's all this pushback. It's like, we have actually made
We have
progress.
Actually come much funnier than, like, Christopher Hitchens being like, I can tell you they're not.
That guy's getting waterboarded in heaven. I hope he's having a great fucking time up there. Yeah. Well, yeah. We can talk about Christopher Hitchens all day long. He says, I'm a photographer. I shoot models for a living. You know, I wouldn't peek on you. I've seen it all. And Haley opens the door and she's just wearing like sort of a gray sports bralette and says, have you seen this? And then shuts it. So again, and this also was an area of like Vice, like Girls Gone Wild, like jailbait, like the idea of like this, like really misogynistic idea of like really young girls being like, and people still talk like that now, obviously. I'm not saying that's gone away. Like,
but that was kind of like part of the zeitgeist as opposed to like a kind of like silo of pedophiles.
Yes, yeah. And again, I think that's progress. I think
I think so too.
To not have to see or hear about jailbait, I think is a big step forward.
Yeah, that's a nice, it's a better culture.
Whew. And finally, then when she shuts the door, Jeff's like, actually, you know, you can come to my house and I'll play the concert. And she's like, it'll be fine. She comes out with a shirt on, says like, let's think about it. Like, it'll be fine. I've been here with you, so I'm not worried. Like, if something were to happen to me, like, people here saw me. Two, it's Gold Frap, and I fucking love Gold Frap, which I think is also a very funny band from that era to be like, I don't even, not that I didn't like Gold Frap, but I just don't think of
at all
that as, and he goes, three? And she goes, three. Four. Four out of five doctors agree I'm insane. So in order to come over, like, to come over to your house, I'd really be being true to myself. So let's do it, right? And again, she's acting like she's 20 or something, or like at least 18, like aware in a way that a 14-year-old would not be.
Just is not,
And they take the elevator up to the roof where Jeff is parked. And they have, again, this also like horny little moment where she says something about like, this is the badass car. He's like, oh my God, like the fact you even said that makes me want to bow down and worship you. And she says, why do you do that? Why do you worship me? And he gets down on his hands and knees and he kisses her feet. And there is something too about like projecting like full womanhood on a really young girl that I imagine people still do, but was such a big thing back then where it's like, that's not what a 14-year-old's doing.
No.
Again, maybe when they're 20, like, I mean, like, it's just like sort of like projecting all this stuff. Like, oh, well, she's a full woman. Like she is a woman and you know, that kind of thing. And he says, again, the car is like, do you want to call your sister and tell her where you're going? She's like, I'll just do it later. And off we go. And we see them chatting and Haley's smiling. And then at one point you see Haley look out the passenger window. And when she's turned away from Jeff, her smile just kind of slides off her face.
Mm-hmm.
And even just, I will say this, like, this is like filling me with anxiety where it's like the idea of like, oh, right, wanting to have sex with a 14-year-old is so bizarre and awful. Unless you've totally created a fiction of a 14-year-old in your head. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, whatever this is going for, it's like, this is already bad from jump, and obviously we're going to be subverting it throughout the film. So at his house, Haley listens to the concert. Allison, have you ever listened to an MP3 of a concert? Have you ever listened to a concert?
No.
No. Unless it's like live albums
and, like, songs that were like ripped onto LimeWire from a concert, but like,
I remember LimeWire.
I do. I loved it.
I remember listening to waiting 5 hours to download Rammstein B-sides on LimeWire, and probably
that's exactly what I expect you would be doing on LimeWire. Yeah. No, it's not an enjoyable because it's not produced in the way that like a live album is produced by like sound engineers who know how to make it sound good.
I'll be honest. There's even some well-made, like, highly regarded, very popular podcasts. None on Cricket Media, but there are some that I have a hard time listening to because when it's live, it's not well mixed. Like, the audience is so loud. So I will say, I don't know why, I feel like we have nailed that, you know. Yes. I work for Love It or Leave It. That's live. I feel like it's fine to listen to, but there's something about it. Anywho, Jeff comes over, gives Haley a drink. She says, sorry, they tell us young things not to drink anything we don't mix ourselves. So let me pour drinks. And so you go to the kitchen and she whips up a screwdriver. Do you have thoughts about the screwdriver, Allison?
I do. Okay. The incarnation that most of us are familiar with, which is just cheap vodka and Tropicana orange juice, is horrifically disgusting. Don't drink that. I drank that, you know, in high school, early college days. Mm-hmm. It's gross. However, Natasha and I went to The Grill, which is in Midtown here in New York, and it's like mega fan. Like every drink is $29. Like it's true. It's like where like Adele goes to have dinner. But you could go to the bar, and it's usually like kind of empty, and you can watch Old Men with the Women That They Pay, which is always a very funny, just like, what are you talking about? But they do a screwdriver, and it's like vodka, like high-end vodka, and like filtered fresh tangerine juice that they're making in the back, and a little bit of like bitter, like some kind of like liqueur. Like it was, I was like, this is the best thing I've ever tasted in my life. But like, that's not the screwdriver that most people are getting.
Yeah, and this definitely the one they're drinking is Tropicana. Absolutely. Ugh. I was just reminded me when Dave, by friend of the pod, and I went out to dinner. God, where was it? Oh, it was Mr. Chow, which is like this very famous, extremely expensive. But we just went because it's like, an experience, expensive restaurant in Beverly Hills. Some of the worst fucking food I've ever had in my fucking life. I was so mad. I was like, you tricked me into thinking, okay, I'm going to spend a lot of money, but it's like an experience. Like, what I mean? It's a special event or whatever. And you walk in, it's like, this is dog shit. And while we were there, there was also a table full of three beautiful young ladies and then I would say a 100-year-old man mm-hmm. in a pair of light jeans and mm-hmm. from the waist up, a full tuxedo. So like tuxedo, bow tie, jacket, vest. Something. Like, and I was like, this is a slice of life that you don't see. So I guess in that way it was.
In that way, you're like, yes, that's what you're getting. The grill is similar. Like the food is, it's good, but like I haven't really eaten there, but. If you live in New York and you really want to treat yourself, go get a fucking screwdriver at the grill. It's like the best thing I've ever tasted.
Meanwhile, don't go to Mr. Chow. Terrible food and such small portions, truly. Oh. But they're making she's making screwdrivers for them. And they talk about like getting older. He says, you know, when you're 80, I'll be 98. So he's 32.
Okay.
She's like, well, then by then you'll be useless to me. And he's like, well, what use did you have in mind for me? And she doesn't answer. We see him step into the other room. He has like an office and then like a room that's essentially his photography studio.
Yes.
Where he has like the like different colored backdrops and different stuff. And she points to all these framed photos of models on the wall. And it's really interesting because they refer to them a lot, but you don't see them. So I wonder if the ones they were going to show you are maybe like too scantily clad or like maybe it was like muddying what we're talking about because you don't see when she says oh all these photos you don't immediately cut to the photos which I thought was a very something happened there and she's like wow like you have so many beautiful women over here it's like oh yeah this is my studio I shoot them in my house and so of course you know he's gonna start taking her photo at some point
obviously
which is also a thing that you see was like I'm a photographer and essentially I'm gonna trick women into getting topless being a woman is under patriarchy is constantly being afraid of being tricked and I feel like you could see that in so many parts of how that affects culture again we have to fix the whole thing
man
he's scheming. Soup to nuts again, you know, when I see this, I'm like, well, Jeff is going to die at some point.
Yes, of course.
And they clink glasses and she says, carpe omnibus, because DM isn't enough. It's not a day. And he's like, oh, so take it all. And she says, take it all. And then she asks, she's laying it on thick. And she's like, what's it like to look through your lens at a beautiful woman? And she's like, well, what are you talking about? And she says, well, let's have another screwdriver, then I'll tell you. So they're having a second drink. Again, she is 14 years old and has only been eating chocolate cake, you know?
Yeah.
And he says, oh, you want me to tell you how many of the models I sleep with? They're all underage. I don't do that. I've really only slept with one, but I was really young too.
Sir.
I know, sir. And he's like, I only slept with one model, but I was young too. And that photo isn't out here. It's in the bedroom. So, of course, she insists on going to the bedroom. And they're all literally like the most basic college photography, like try to see women's breasts. Like, it is like, I will create a career of trying to see nude women, which was also the thing. I feel like Terry Richardson was such a thing.
Yeah, that was a whole thing.
It was like, what? I mean, we know what's happening. Again, it's just misogyny. But a whole era at this time. And we see this very beautiful young brunette. And Haley says, well, what was her name? And she takes the photo off the wall, and on the back it says Janelle, and it has a date. It's March 19th. Mm-hmm. And he takes it back, and he's like, weirdly emotional about it. He says, oh, was she, like, your first girlfriend, your first love? And he says, yeah, that's right. I learned everything I know practicing on her. And Haley joked, oh, so is that date, like, is that the first time you did it? And she looks again, and she's like, oh, my God, I've seen her. Like, she's an actual model. She's on magazine covers. Oh, you're still in love with her. And Jeff says, no, we've both moved on. It's not a big deal. And I wrote, we live in a world curated to men's sexual fantasies, which is unfortunately the case.
That's true.
And we all kind of have to pivot around them as if that isn't what's going on, unfortunately. And Haley takes off her sweatshirt and says, well, now we're finally getting into it. What if you take photos of me? And he says, modeling isn't just about being beautiful. It's about opening up from a position of strength. It's not weakness. But as he's sort of monologuing about being a photographer, his words start to slur. And Haley, she's also feeling a little loopy. Again, she's had a second drink and runs in the living room and puts on like a techno CD and is leaping on the couch and is doing sort of like horny, like licking her thumb and like running it down her body. Yeah. He's like, don't do that like fake MTV like sex shit, you know, like just be open. But of course, as he goes to start to take photos, his vision starts to blur as she's telling him, like, just shoot me. And he yells at her to stop. And he says, oh, I don't feel good. And he collapses. Allison, when Jeff wakes up, he is tied to an office chair with a sweatshirt over his face.
Great.
A thrilling development, if ever was one. And Haley says, hey, sorry, I was just going through your medicine cabinet. No, you didn't have any of the Valley of the Dolls stuff like I hoped, but what's with all the lube? And he, of course, looks around and says, well, what's going on? And she says, you know what I said about never drinking something you don't mix yourself? Well, that's true for everyone, Jeff. He says, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but I dosed you with something I swiped from my dad, so I may have used too much, so I'm sorry if you feel like shit. And he's trying to laugh it off, like, oh, okay, so you're crazy. He says, well, why do I have to get tied up first if that's the game we're playing, you know?
It's like, oh, buddy, you don't know the game we're playing, do you?
She says, oh, Jeff, playtime's over. And, of course, he starts fighting against his restraint. Both his hands and his feet are tied while Haley's going through the room. She says, what are you looking? What are you look? Fuck are you doing? And Haley says, that's my question is, why do you live in a house full of photos of half-naked underage girls, Jeff? And she starts to scream for help. And she reaches up and just starts spraying some kind of chemical fluid in his mouth. And he cuts off. He starts gagging. She's like, I'll be honest. You could scream if you want. I picked this day because Mr. Coughlin is at work. And the Caracows are vacationing Santa Barbara. But I want you to shut the fuck up. Because if you scream again, the next time it'll be bleach. And so Whoa. Jeff realizes, oh, you've been stalking me. She's like, no, Jeff, you've been stalking me. I've gone into all these chat rooms as different girls with different ages. And the second we got a little bit older than me, you dropped the conversation. So then I knew, okay, that's what's going on here. As soon as you find out that I'm 14, you want to fucking talk.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, we really did connect. We connected in conversation.
Come on, man.
And so she's like, you know, when I would mention a band, 5 minutes later, you'd be like, you know all about them. Which is kind of the same amount of time it would take to Google it, Jeff. And I know you Googled it because you would literally use like the first quotes and like lines about the band from Google.
Yeah.
She says, you know what, Jeff? I fucking hate Goldfrapp. Which would be like funny that it's like they're like friendly fire against Goldfrapp. And he's like, okay, so I wanted to impress you. Does that mean being tortured? She says, oh, Jeff. Guess you haven't read anything from Amnesty International like you said you did, because this is nothing. And so basically she puts on his blazer and she's sort of laying out what we're saying. It's like,
I mean, you really got to start to wonder when a grown man goes through all this trouble just to charm a girl. Well, there's that word again, girl.
And that's what I want to say. I want to read Elliot Page's book because I was like, oh, yeah, so much of his career was playing a teen girl. And it's like, as a trans person, I imagine on some level they felt as if, oh, well, I am playing a teen girl.
Yeah.
So, in fact, I'm actually really good at it. And also, he is an amazing actor. Like, it's like.
Incredible actor.
Yeah. So, watching this, I'm like, I don't know if that's in the book. So, but it made me wonder if he sort of got into like, oh, these roles that made his career playing a teen girl, having perhaps felt like he was playing a teen girl. While a teen, which is very complicated, but interesting. And she tells Jeff, you know, I could hear how your voice changed when you looked at me through the camera. And he's like, my voice changed because you drugged me. She's like, yeah, and it's because you were looking for the greatest drug of all, sweet 14-year-old flesh. And he's like, look, I never touch any of those models. I'm a decent person. I will give you the numbers. You can call them yourself. Okay, I don't do that. Besides, you were coming on to me. And Haley says, oh, my God, that's what they all say. Jeff says, who says that? And she screams, the pedophiles. Allison, I'm going to ask you this, but it's hard because the person whose perspective you would be answering this from is a pedophile. Allison, what would you do?
What would you do?
I mean, if I'm Haley, I'm... That's her name?
Yes.
The character's name? I'm... Continuing on with the plan, if I'm him, I mean, I guess like offering up everything you have to just be let go and be like, I will turn myself in for whatever I have done. Like, please stop whatever this is because like an unhinged woman of any age or person of any age who is like out for the vengeance of young people, especially young girl, like there is no limit to what could happen here.
Yeah.
You right, gotta like get this out and like already let come the your house. Authorities deal with you.
Yeah, like this person has already come to your house, essentially poisoned you, tied you up, and then has sprayed chemicals in your throat when you were screaming. I don't think you're gonna be able to get out of this without a full confession to the authorities.
Yes, everything. Of everything. Yeah, I would start. Done. I would start admitting everything and not lying anymore.
But I guess there is, like, that. I don't know, like, there is the part of it that is so hard to understand is, like, there are these people, and mostly men, but there are women, too, where it's, like, they rationalize their actions to such a degree that it's, like, well, if this was someone else, you'd be able to see, like, well, this is criminal and grotesque, but because it's inside your own head, you're, like, yeah, but I'm still allowed to do it. Or like, well, it's different when I do it. Or like,
it's not me, you know? I need to. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is terrifying.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
But she starts screaming at him, and she's like, oh, you know what they say? She seemed older. She acted like she was older. How was I supposed to know? And also, if you did know, oh, it's just she wanted it. It's so easy to blame the kid. And she tells him, just because a girl knows how to imitate a woman doesn't mean that she's ready to do what a woman does. And she says, I came in here. You knew I was 14. I made you a fucking screwdriver. In reality, an actual adult would have said, what are you doing? You're not drinking that in my house. You raced me to the next drink. You got to make, it's like, that makes me think you got something else going on here, yeah. Right? And he starts screaming, like, let me go. It's like, when I'm ready to go, I'm going to call myself a cab, and then I'm going to call a cab to come untie you. But I'm going to fucking hold court and do whatever the fuck I want in your house until I decide I'm done. So scream, whatever. So then she's basically like wheeling around and is going through all his shit because she's basically looking for evidence that he is a pedophile, right?
Yes.
And she says, if you're as big a pedophile as I think you are, you definitely have something hidden somewhere you don't want people to see. And he says, look, go in the living room. Look, I have a great cabinet full of my photography stuff. It's full of my work for environmental groups. I don't just shoot models. It's like, okay, so you're a voyeur, a pedophile, and a conservationist. Okay, so that's good to know. She goes through it, and in his nightstand, she finds a stack of letters from Janelle, his first love, his first model. She's like, "That is my; those are mine. Those are private." She's like, "Jeff, don't you know nothing's private? What do you have a teenager in your home? Come on."
Yeah. Also, like, you know the rules now.
Yeah.
She's not going to be like, "Oh, I guess I won't read these then." Like,
yeah. Best case scenario, she's busy reading those, and you're wiggling out of your restraints, you know. Right. So she goes, she wheels him over to the office. She puts on headphones, is going through the letters, reading them. She's like, oh, okay, so you're still in love with this woman. And he's like, well, you know, honestly, she's so famous. I thought about selling the letters on eBay, but honestly, I just want to send them back to her and remind her about how much of a bitch she was to me. It's like, oh boy. Again,
cool guy.
Jeff, you're just digging your hole deeper. Yeah. I mean, somebody has restrained you within your own home. And also, it is like, it's never fully clear whether or not Haley is actually 14. She obviously acts a lot older. And I think that there is some wiggle room of like what details are true about her.
Right.
So I think that's how I had to tell myself because I'm like, well, no 14-year-old would do this. But if she simply looks young and is playing younger, so that makes sense to me. But he's like, yeah, those are embarrassing. But you come into someone's house, everything is embarrassing. And she reads, this is an interesting line, Jeff. She says, a letter from Janelle. Dear Jeff, you have to stop. I can't go where you want to take me. You're just not the person I thought you were. And Haley says, now, Jeff, what kind of person did she find out you were? And he says, that's none of your business. Mm. She says, well, that makes depends on what you mean by business. Because isn't this your photography business? Is this what you're doing? You're just searching for these models? Do you find the next Janelle? You're just fucking burning through these underage girls? And he's like, no, I didn't do that. Absolutely not. There's also some weird tech stuff where they're talking about technology in a way where it's like, that's not really how it works. And she's like, are you the kind of person who saves his outgoing emails? I'm like, I don't even know what that means.
Either that always happens or that can't happen. Those are
the I'm like, I've never deleted an outgoing email. Maybe. I mean, I guess if you're sending pedophilic
I mean,
materials.
I'm not trying to hide anything, but, you know, I guess personal information is in there.
And it's like, you know, it looks like you downloaded photos, but now I can't find them. Where would someone like you keep physical photos? He's like, I don't have anything like that. I've done nothing wrong. You were totally... you're wrong. She's like, well, that's the thing, Jeff. I've actually looked through your whole house and your personal laptop that is only in your home, and there's no porn whatsoever, not even the history. And you got to think if you're a bachelor in your home, there's going to be maybe not magazines,
there's
but
gonna be some porn. Links.
There's going to be something, you know, something downloaded. That's a huge fucking red flag, Jeff. Not a hint of porn. And she's like, you know, I think the photos on your wall are your porn, but you have the real stroke shots hidden away in some cubbyhole that I'm going to find. The phrase stroke shots,
I mean,
literally, gagging.
Yes.
Not in a good way. In the rising gorge way. She then starts just fucking pulling everything out of his work cabinets, throwing papers and photos, like looking under his bed. And as all this time, Jeff is trying to undo his ties. Under his bed, she finds a wooden box. And within the box, there's a gun. So again, now you know there's a gun at play, right? She starts pulling photos off the wall, like looking in the back of the photos, trying to see like, oh, are they hidden physically there? He has a rock garden, which I'm like, I guess that was a thing for a time.
There was a minute where that was a thing.
And so it's on the floor. It's a little rock garden. And she starts sifting through the rocks. And of course, at the bottom of the rocks is a safe. She asks for the password. He refuses. Like, I'm not giving you that. She's like, you know what? I have all the time in the world, so I'm going to go ahead and figure out myself. And he's like, there's no way. That's not how numbers work. Like, there's no fucking way you're going to do that. And if you did, it's going to take you all week. So I guess we're both going to be here. But he realizes he's not going to get out of here by yelling at her. So now he's switching tack.
Yes.
It's like, well, aren't your parents going to miss you? Aren't they going to wonder where you're at? She says, no. She's like, well, you know, I get it. Being a teen is really hard. I mean, if your parents don't care about where we are, like, they're clearly not there for you. So I get it. You looked for a guy online. Reminds me of your dad. Maybe you have a lot of anger towards your dad. Like, so this is coming from someplace, like, I didn't know about. But
yeah.
I'm not a bad person. I didn't done the stuff that you said I've done. So I just want to let you know, we could just end this. I won't call anyone. I won't tell anyone, right? And you see Haley's face fall, and she's like, you don't fucking know anything about me. He's like, just untie me, and I will not report anything. If you want to call, you can call 911 yourself. You know, I'll hold you while you do it. I just want you to look at what you're doing. And Haley starts to sob, which of course turns into hysterical laughter.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
She's like, did you really think that would work, Jeff? Come on. Unfortunately for Jeff, we've only seen one series of numbers, and the safe only has three numbers. If you're keeping anything you shouldn't have in a safe, it's got to have more than three numbers in it.
Yeah, because
you can. And the only numbers we've seen are on the back of the photo of Janelle, March 19th. 319 is also in his chat room name, Lensman319. So it's obviously 319.
This is how I make my passwords, though, so I guess I shouldn't.
Girl, as the safe pops open, Allison, you're not going to believe it. There are, of course, we don't see it anything like remotely. It is, of course, child abuse images, right? Yes. And the implication to me is that these are images of the models, right? So these are 14-year-olds, mm-hmm. you know, tweens that he took photos of, Terry Richardson style. Yeah, now, they could have just been child abuse images that he downloaded, but that's not what I got from it. I thought, like, these are his photos that he took. He is a piece of shit. He really is, like, I mean, you're a piece of shit regardless if you're keeping those kind of stuff in your house, obviously. You're creating this. Yeah. And she says, this is what they make federal laws for, Jeff. This is fucking sick. And then she takes out one and it's a clothed, like a brunette teen girl. And she says, what makes her so fucking special, Jeff? Why does she get to keep her clothes on? And Jeff starts silently crying. And then Haley looks at the photo and says, I recognize this girl. And because she's bending down, Jeff is able to get his foot loose and kicks her around the ribs. And Haley falls back and knocks her head on the ground. Classic way to get knocked unconscious.
I mean,
if you're in a horror movie, you should just be wearing a bike helmet because you will be hitting your head on the ground. You will be knocked unconscious.
Yes.
And while she's recovering, Jeff wheels himself in the bedroom and is able to physically throw himself onto the bed where Haley has left the gun. However, when he gets back to the living room, he's still tied to the chair, but he now has a gun in one of his hands. Zooming around on an office chair with tied down
style.
With a gun. Yes, it's a living. He screams, "Hi, Haley, where are you?" Luckily, Allison, she's right behind him, leaping out of the shadows and wrapping plastic wrap around his face, which we also just saw in Terrifier, a big plastic wrap over the mouth and nose.
It's a scary thing.
He fires the gun, but of course, he just goes into the ceiling.
Yeah.
Eventually, he passes out with a plastic wrap over his face. But I'm, of course, slamming Haley against the wall. She gets, like, crushed between the office chair and the wall. And so he passes out, and she's just, like, screaming and freaking out and gagging. Again, Ellie Page, phenomenal actor. When Jeff wakes up again, Allison, things have gone from bad to worse.
I bet.
He is strapped. He's wearing his shirt and boxers, but no pants. And he is strapped down to his photography table. Now a surgery table, and he has a bag of ice on his crotch. He kind of knows where he's going, where this is going. So Jeffy's like, "I never touched you. If anything, I was trying to keep you off of me while I call the cops." She's like, "Who do you think you're talking to?" And she holds up a photo of the brunette girl and says, "Why do you have a photo of local missing girl Donna Moyer in your safe? Have you seen her?"
Of course.
Because no one else has. He's like, "Okay, I met her like I met you. I met her over coffee. I took a photo. You could see it's in front of that fucking coffee shop. She didn't come back here. That's it. And I kept it because, I don't know, I'm some kind of pervert." And it's like, "Okay, so did you tell the cops about that? That you met up with her before her disappearance? You might have some fucking information, or you just saw like a teen girl go missing and you said, I'm not going to get involved."
You're like, "Oh, I've met her, but I'm not going to say anything."
Yeah. And Haley's like, "You know, I'll be honest. I find it hard to believe considering it was with the child abuse images in your collection, you're safe. You know what I mean?" And he's like, "You're right. I crossed a line." Yeah, that's one way to put it. "Call the cops. Ugh. I'll go to prison. I'll do time. Just fucking let me go." And it's like, that's the thing, is that even when people like you go to trial, "Oh, he's sick. It's an addiction." You're going to be out in no time. We forgive this kind of thing. He's like, "It would ruin my life. It would ruin my career." And this is 2005. So she goes, "I mean, would it? Because didn't Roman Polanski just win an Oscar?" And again, I do feel like we've made some progress where this would ruin your career.
Yeah.
I hope. I don't know. In case you have any interest, please Google Horses Los Angeles if you want to read a horrific story that I hope has some sort of repercussions. Revolution. I don't know.
We'll see.
Jeff says, "Why the ice?" And she says, "Well, I realize it wouldn't help for you to go to prison. How would that help?"
"Everybody will be safer if I do a little preventive maintenance."
Allison, she's going to castrate him.
Oh my god.
She busts out a razor and shave gel and has a pair of like medical scissors. And she's like, the textbook. Exactly. Auditing a class. She put like some sort of numbing gel on it. She's like, "While that gets to work, I'm gonna compose an email to Janelle." And she's writing it as she types it, says, "You know, hi Janelle. I'm 14. I'm talking to your ex-boyfriend, who is, of course, 32, but he talks about you a lot, and I just want to be like, are you guys still seeing each other? I wouldn't want to step on any toes, but I really, really like him. He also talks about this other girl a lot, Donna Moyer. Do you know her? Anyways, he has these photos on his computer, but I couldn't open the file, so I've attached them below. Let me know what you think. Thanks." And she doesn't send it, though. And so in that moment, she doesn't send it, and Jeff switches texts again. And he's like, "Look, you don't want to do this. Once you hurt someone, you can't go back. You know, like the things I've done, it does, like the kind of person I've become, it does haunt me, you know? And it's like, if you do something like this, like if you ever go on a date with a guy, if you're going to think about this on your wedding night." And he was like,
"Yeah, that is so thoughtful. You are speaking to me so selflessly. I mean, you just don't want me to castrate you for my own benefit? Wow, I'm touched."
And she's like, "What if you had told yourself when you downloaded this image of a little girl, what if you had told yourself, stop, don't do that to yourself? Would you have listened? Would you have listened if you'd said, stop, don't do that to yourself?" Of course, he can't reply. There's no reply to that. So once he's numb, Haley gears up to castrate him.
Jesus Christ.
And yeah, it's a tough one. And sprays chemicals in his mouth again when he starts to scream. And he says, "Does your mother know that you cut off men's balls?" And she says, "Well, I'll be honest, I haven't until today, so maybe I'll tell her when I get home." And she starts, you don't see it, of course, but you hear it. It's like starts shaving his scrotum. And Jeff starts to panic. And he's like, "There's money in the safe. I will wire you any amount of money. Please, I'm begging you." And he starts screaming. And she starts, and she's like, "Oh, sorry, you're still not numb yet, based on your reaction. So we're going to give you another minute, you know, for it to take effect." And she leaves him alone. And, of course, he's now putting everything into trying to get off this
getting
table.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, some distance away, somebody is in their garden, like pruning roses, and mm-hmm. looks up and sees Haley walking on the roof of the house before going back inside. So somebody has seen her at the house. She walked up mm-hmm. to the roof. Meanwhile, Jeff is on this table and sees that his flip phone is on the coffee table. And the table is on wheels. So he starts trying to like move the table, and he makes a lot of progress. But of course, Haley gets back and is like, "I'm so sorry. Can I call someone for you? Do you want me to give someone a call? Have him come and see, watch this with you?" And he says, "Why don't you just fucking kill me at this point?" And she wheels him into the studio and sets up his camera to record this. And she's like, "You know what? I really would rather do this, and I know how much you like to watch. So I'm actually going to record this for you." He's sobbing, obviously. And then he tells this very horrible story, essentially to, like, contextualize why he has child abuse images and why he is a pedophile. It's yeah. basically that, like, when he was 9, he was staying with his aunt, and his youngest cousin, Linny, like leapt out of the bathtub soaking wet and, like, leapt on him, tickling him, and would do this all the time. And I guess we're supposed to think she's, like, 4 or 5. And one day his aunt, Denise, comes in. A lot of Denise's in the film recently, yeah. interestingly.
Yeah, Denise is a big name this month.
A month of Denise's. His aunt comes in, sees Linny on top of Jeff, and she took Jeff to the kitchen, turns on the burner, and burns his penis on the burner. Now, tell you, that would do it. I you know, I'm not a psychologist, but I do think that absolutely yeah. would fuck up somebody's sexual forever. Expression forever. That kind of abuse. And he also doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's go to therapy for it. You know what I mean?
No.
The next day, his mother came to get him, and he never saw his aunt's family again. So again, sort of ostracized from that side of the family. And there's something there where it's like, we don't know how to talk about like children's sexuality. So when things do happen, we only know punishment and fear and disgust yeah. rather like, than have any kind of conversation. So it is like yeah. that. I'm sure that kind of stuff has happened, and it is horrible. But he starts begging her, like, "Please call the cops. You need help. Teen girls don't do this." And she says, "Jeff, I've seen the pictures. Let's not get into what you think teen girls should be getting up to, okay?"
Yep.
And she says, "I think that you should be the one to send this email to Janelle. And I think you'd feel a lot better if you knew for sure that she would never love you again. And finally stop torturing yourself." At this point, Jeff just freaks out. He's screaming. He's begging for mercy. It's horrible. And the implication is sort of like, if you sent this email, I would let you go. We know by now that's not what's going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. But he's sobbing, and she's like, "You know what? You're right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have let you think there was a way out of this. I'm genuinely sorry." She takes out her big, fat medical textbook, opens to the castration chapter.
I mean, and as one does.
Yeah. It says, "Don't move around too much. If I nick the perineal artery, you could bleed to death." But at this point, Jeff is disassociating. He's just sort of staring at the ceiling. And she starts. And she says, "Can you feel that?" And he asks, "Why do you care?" Allison, this is fucking, you don't hear anything. You don't see anything. You do hear it. You are just hearing like flesh, blood, like wet, you know, like ugh. It is just the viscera, yeah. you know? And as she's doing it, she's like, "So that Antony story, was that supposed to be like the origin, like the key of why you like where you are?" Allison, we hear her remove one of his testicles and sort of like put it somewhere and then declare she's moving on to the second one. Because she's saying, "Look, I know a lot of people can be, you know, like live a full sexual life with one testicle. Yeah. So I don't want to leave you the option. I can't just take one. You know, I got to take them both." And she tells him, "You know, this has to be one of the easiest operations. They should teach this in Girl Scouts. You know, like, they taught me etiquette. This would have been a lot more handy." And Jeff tells her, she saw Linny at her mother's, Antonice died, and he saw Linny at Antonice's funeral, and she refused to believe Jeff when he told her what her mother has done. And Haley says, what would you say if Antonius was here? And Jester sort of like starts laughing hysterically and says, I would say, help, a teenager is cutting my balls off. And I did think that was funny. And after she's done, and she tells him, you're going to be sore as hell for the next couple of days. So just, you know, like, I would say, gets a lot of rest, takes some ibuprofen. In 8 to 9 days, take your stitches out. And I did some Googling. You can find tips on eunuch.com just to how to tend to your wounds. And she lifts a glass and you can see his testicles in it, Allison. Yeah. And she says, what should we do with it? And eventually she suggests, should I throw it in the yard, but I don't want an animal to eat it and then get sick. So she dumps him into the garbage disposal and then she turns it down. And she says to Jeff, do you think Donna is smiling down on us right now? And he says, I swear to God, I didn't hurt that girl. He says, just so you know, because basically the idea is like, she's going to leave after this.
Yes.
And he says, I will hunt you down for this. And she says, you really shouldn't be making threats while you're still tied down. Because the easiest thing would be for me to leave, to kill you and then leave. But she's not going to do that. She's already decided she's not going to kill him. So she excuses herself to take a shower. And Jeff manages to get out of his ties. And he reaches down to find that she's just put like a metal binder clip on his testicles. She didn't castrate him at all.
Oh.
Which honestly did make me happy. I don't know. I was just like, yeah, okay.
Well, that is just like a tough thing for like a young person to do.
I also think, yeah, well, we'll talk about it at the end. It's sort of like, it is brutality for brutality. Yes. I just think like it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It just is not, you know, not that we know what to do in any sort of positive way with people who are pedophiles, but I'm like, that just seems like, you know what I mean? It's just sort of like, oh, yeah. The entire concept of the, you know, like how we treat criminals is horrific. This seems also horrific. But it's neither here nor there. Jeff has got his testicles and now he's loose in the house and he grabs a fucking butcher knife and because she was recording, he grabs the tape out. So he has recorded evidence that she did this and she didn't do it, but she was psychologically torturing him.
Yes.
And he's about to call 911, but he decides, nah, I'm just going to fucking kill this bitch. And he grabs, he grabs the scalpel she was using. And it's all for show. You know what I mean? Like, she had all the equipment and cotton balls and stuff and did numb him. But she didn't actually do anything. So when he runs to the bathroom, she's not in the shower. She's just running the shower. Of course, she lunges at him from behind and Haley tases him and manages to knock him out and essentially knock him into the water and electrocute him.
Ooh.
And even after he's unconscious, she just keeps tasing him over and over again, screaming, Allison, at this point, who will survive?
Who will survive?
I mean, I think just Haley.
Yeah. What do you think about Janelle? Do you think Janelle's going to survive?
No. I think she's already dead. I don't know why, but.
That's a good guess. And then also, there is a unexpected cameo from someone who was a very successful working actress at the time. And now I would say if not A-list, in my mind she's A-list, but I'm like, I guess haven't watched her shows. She's a TV star, a woman of a certain age, but not an older woman. Would you like to guess who that actress is before we get to that point where she makes a cameo? I can give you more hints if we need.
Yeah, give me one more hint. Just like, let's comedy, see. Drama.
I mean, here's the problem. She really can do it all. Let's see. She has received 2 Golden Globes. She has 4 Screen Actor Guild Awards. She's truly been in everything.
Allison Janney?
Of that level. Not Allison Janney, but a perfect guess. Someone who is Allison Janney-esque, and in the last couple of years has kind of been blowing up. She had a TV show that was really big, and then she's kind of been in everything. Let's see. I'm trying to think of a deeper cut. She was in Under the Tuscan Sun.
Diane Lane?
No, but excellent, excellent. Oh, here we go. She was in Sideways. Who was in Sideways, Allison? The female lead. I've never seen Sideways, but I believe she's the female lead in Sideways.
Sandra Oh.
It's Sandra Oh, baby. Sandra Oh is going to pop in. I could, again, delighted to see her even in these trying times.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
While Jeff is unconscious again, Haley goes and proceeds to wipe down the entire house, like erasing her evidence that she was there. Mm-hmm. She of course knocks over a vase and it's like creates more mess for herself, but she's, you know, cleaning it. As she's doing it, we see Jeff crawling down the hallway, scalpel in hand. And when he finally gets close enough, she just tases him again until he passes out and takes the scalpel. She calls her friend Tracy and says, "Hey, I'm actually done earlier than I thought. Would you want to get a movie later or catch a movie later?" And we don't hear Tracy's reply, but Haley says, "No, I'm not going to tell you about him. Come on." So it's like, oh, I'm just out with some guy, but, you know, it's a normal date. And she starts to write a suicide note. And the note essentially to explain why is there a bullet in the ceiling. And it says, "I tried to shoot myself. I couldn't even do that right." So trying to, you know, back end cover everything. Yeah. She makes a call pretending to be Lieutenant Haley from the LAPD and asks the person on the line to come to the house. Of course, we know there's no other person in this movie. It's Janelle. Now, if I was Janelle, I'd be like, "I'm sorry, aren't they making 14-year-old girls lieutenants though?" Because, like, you know, like, Ellie Page is a little bit older, but still is obviously a very young person making young this person. Call. I was like, okay, if I was Janelle, I'd be like, this is a prank call or something. Now, for the most unrealistic part of the movie, Allison, which is, Jeff wakes up and Haley has gotten him up onto a chair and into a noose. So she has tied a noose, tied his hand, tied his feet, and put a full-grown man onto a chair. I just don't think that they'd be able to pull that off. And he wakes, obviously, he's choking. He says, "You're insane." And Haley says, "I did tell you that when I first met you." Allison, the doorbell rings. Haley goes to answer it. It's Sandra Oh.
I love that.
Of course, she's not playing herself. She's playing friendly, nosy neighbor Judy Takuda. Hmm. And I just love that it's like the neighbor Judy. And it's like you go to your neighbor's house and there's a clearly underage teenager with a bleeding cut from their fighting in the shower on their forehead. And Judy says, "Is Jeff home?" And Haley quickly is like, "Oh, yeah, I'm his niece. He has food poisoning, so he can't come out, but can I help you?" And Judy says, Can I ask you something?" And Haley immediately is like panicking and trying to figure out what to say. Yeah. And Judy says, "Do you babysit? I am always looking for a new babysitter." We are like three houses down. Girl, if you are ever looking to babysit. And Haley sort of relaxes. And it turns out Judy was just stopping by to drop off Girl Scout cookies. But before she goes, unfortunately, Jeff has cash. That would be where everything fell apart for me. Is if this is going on, it's like, "I don't have cash. I can't give you $6. Like, I don't have it. But before Judy turns to go, she says, "Is your roof okay? Because you were on the roof. What were you doing up there?" And I was like, "Oh, there's a leak. And you know, my uncle's sick, so I couldn't, he couldn't do it." And Judy says, "Did it rain?" It's like, "No, we live in California. It absolutely did not rain." Though that's not it. Even since 2005, that has changed so much. It's like, it rains a fuck lot in LA, or at least this year. And she takes the cookies and Haley says, "Thanks. Uncle Jeff loves his Girl Scouts." Back inside, Jeff says, "She will be back. She's on to you. She is a nosy person. She's going to think, okay, that girl needs help. Do not, like, this is all going to fall apart. You're going to be caught." And Haley says, "Bep, bep, 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 bep. Here are your options. You kill yourself and destroy the photo of Donna Moyer and cover up everything up and I erase the suicide note. Or I leave you here to die. And when they find you, they will see that you are a pedophile and, I believe, the person who killed Donna Moyer." Again, he denies having anything to do with Donna. And he says, "They'll find you." It's like, how? How would they do that? And she's like, "Once they find your shit, also, they're not going to be interested in who killed you. They're going to be like, oh, a pedophile murderer was killed. We're the police. We're not going to look into this." It's like, well, she is right. That is what would happen. Unfortunately, during her monologue about this, Haley gets too close to Jeff and he's able to kick his legs up and wrap his thighs around her neck, sort of choking her out. They struggle. He's able to get out of the noose. And she's able to escape, but then so does he. So then it's sort of a cat and mouse game around the house. But Jeff, as the predator now, he's hunting her. Mm-hmm. And this is when he grabs a butcher's knife. And he's screaming and freaking out. And he's screaming, "You're just like her. You're all just like her. You're all the same." Presumably being Janelle, being the woman who left him, you know, abandoned him. And he turns, and there's this beautiful photo of, I think, who we're supposed to believe is Janelle, sitting nude on a bed in front of blinds. And he starts stabbing the photo on the wall. And he calls out, "Thank you, Haley. You were right. This is who I am. This is who I really am. Thank you for teaching me that." And upstairs, he could hear her walking on the roof. And we see Haley up there looking out over the city. Oh, beautiful Los Angeles.
Gorgeous.
And in the distance, there's a car coming up the mountain, a lone car with Janelle inside, driving towards them. And Jeff finally finds the ladder up to the roof, and he holds the butcher knife and says, what do you want to fuck first, me or the knife? Ugh. Fortunately, Haley has grabbed the gun and pulls it on him and says, "I called Janelle. She's on her way. So you got to tell me what do you want her to know about you based on how they find you?" And she points, and she's put a rope with a noose around the chimney. She tells him again, "You could kill yourself, and I'll hide all the evidence of your misdeeds. Or when Janelle arrives, I will take off my clothes, I will run to her arms, and she will see the monster that you are." And he says, "If you do that, if you run to her, I will kill you myself. I will track you down." He says, "You can't do that. You don't know anything about me. You won't be able to find me. My dad doesn't teach at UCW. Yes. I have no, like, everything I've lied. My name isn't even Haley." He says, "Then who the fuck are you?" She says, "I am every little girl you ever watched, touched, kidnapped, or killed. That's all you need to know about me." Allison, Janelle's car pulls into the driveway. And Haley says again, Jeff sort of dives onto the roof to flatten out. She says, "Put on the noose, jump, and I'll hide everything. And she won't know who you really are. She'll just think you're some sad man that she never should have left. That's the only way." Allison, he finally tells her, "I didn't kill Donna Moyer, but I just watched. I wanted to take photos of it, but he wouldn't let me. It was me and another guy, but he's the one who killed her. And I'll tell you his name, and I will help you find him, and we could kill him together." And Haley says, "Jeff, I already know his name. And you know what's funny is when I went to his house, Aaron said you did it before he killed himself." And Jeff starts crying. He's like, "It wasn't me." And Haley said, "I don't really care." Meanwhile, poor Janelle's down on the fucking lawn calling for Jeff, concerned, after getting this fucking phone call.
Oh, my God.
But finally, Jeff stands and puts on the noose. And it is an excellent shot. Like, it's, like, there in shadow. And he puts on the noose. Yeah. And Haley reassures him and says, "Don't worry. I will take care of all of it." And with that, he just steps off the edge of the roof to his death. And then Haley looks over the edge and says out loud, "Or not." And we see her go down the ladder, put on her hoodie, which for the first time I was like, "Oh, Little Red Riding Hood. I'm an idiot." Like, I was just like, "Oh, right." Puts up her hood, takes her backpack, and then just sort of limps down the hill away. And that's the end, Allison. The end.
Wow.
I feel like I have a lot of conflicting feelings about this movie because I fucking love this shit. I love, you know, like, gnarly revenge vigilante fantasies. But it does have the same thing of, like, Promising Young Women, where it's like, well, that didn't really resolve anything. Like, it's like, yes, like, vengeance. But that we know by now that doesn't work. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But I think...
But it is fantasy. That is absolutely, like... Absolutely. I had the same thoughts about Promising Young Woman, where it's like, is this... And there was so much discourse where it's like...
Yes.
Well, does this fix anything? It's like, well, this movie wasn't supposed to fix it.
Exactly.
Like, this wasn't what it was for. Like, this 100%. Is the fantasy of, like, being able to hurt the person who hurt someone else, which, like, again, doesn't really solve things, but is...
Right.
Fun to watch.
And we have a lot of that within ourselves, like wanting to meet violence with violence or like getting revenge. And then it's the fundamental problem is like, that's, you can't really get justice that way because real justice would be changing things to the point where this guy never would have done any of these things.
Right.
And that's why I do, again, I know I'm truly a bright-eyed optimist, but I do think there's really something when we talk about the patriarchy and talk more broadly about bioessentialism, which is like what trans people are up against, is the idea that like men are just like this. And I think for me, I have reached a point where I'm like, that's unacceptable.
No.
I don't believe it. I know too many good men who really are trying to do good things. So then when the patriarchy uses this idea of like, well, this is just how men are, it's like, but what about all these men that aren't? And also, if that's true, then we got to do something about that. Like, it's like, if that's what you're saying, which I don't believe, and I feel like that's unfortunately what trans people are running up to, is like, this idea that everything is like, well, men are just like that. And that's why, like, they're so crazy about trans women, is like, trans women are like, well, what? I was assigned male at birth, but like, I have no, this has nothing to do with me. I don't have to inherit this this system that you've put me in. But everything is so reliant on the idea that like men do commit. And then it's like hard because it's like, yeah, this guy exists.
This happens.
This exact guy, I'm sure, lives in LA right now. So it's like, what do you do? How can we change things that this isn't true? I don't know the answer to it, obviously, but I don't know. Like, maybe that's my optimism talking, where it's just sort of like, I've got to think, like, this is so, our understanding of all of this has to change, and that part of it is that this is not inevitable, nor do we have to accept it. I don't know.
Right.
Does that make sense?
I agree.
But again, that's just because I don't want to believe that, like, we have to just.
That's just what.
Yeah, like, yeah. I cannot live that way anymore. Like, I refuse. Anywho, what are some fatal mistakes you think people have made in the movie Hard Candy?
Fatal mistakes.
Oh, I mean, being a pedophile and
being the biggest mistake of all, you know,
and murders people. It's like, that is kind of the biggest mistake you can make.
Yeah, to rationalize to yourself, oh, I want to do this thing, and then sort of like go from there. And we just did The Vanishing, which is the same thing of like convincing yourself, like, well, if I want to do something depraved, then I'm allowed to do it. I'm not a bad person just because I did some bad stuff, you know.
Yeah,
and I think it was like BTK was like, oh, so I had 7 bad days in my life. Like, I'm not a bad person. It's like those 7 days were the days you killed people.
Yeah, you ended other people's lives on those days. So
yeah, it's like, it's not a math problem. It's not the number of days you were bad.
There's not a magic number. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than that, I mean, I feel like Haley handled herself as well as possible. She came out smelling like roses. And yeah, that's why I'm like at the end, I'm like, well, so I don't think she's 14. I think she's just styled herself to be 14.
Yes, yes. Yeah, a woman, an adult woman who can present as younger.
Yes, and
to
play
do this job.
You know, yeah, like doe-eyed, like, oh, you know, everything this kind of person would like. Other than that, I don't know. Janelle, listen, she got out of there. She did the right thing. It seemed like Janelle's career blew up after that. Being a pedophile, I would agree. The ultimate fatal mistake in this film. And finally, where would you put Hard Candy on the spooky scale?
A spooky scale.
Like a 5?
Yeah. A 5 feels good. A 5 feels good.
It feels right where it's like, you know, it's violent, but and like stressful.
Yeah.
But and like obviously the existence of men like this is terrifying, but not quite cinematically, and the like, it's just like, yes, see, like, I think that we don't see the images is like, one, a relief, and two, even scarier in certain ways.
Yes,
it's like what was there. Yeah, 5.
Yeah, I agree. I like 5. Again, I think Elliot Page fucking crushes this. I think they were incredible in this movie,
truly a phenomenal actor.
And I again reminded of that watching this. Patrick Wilson was great. I do think this is a movie
also
that, like,
a phenomenal actor.
It is a B-minus movie that is elevated by the performance. Not B-minus in terms of the writing. I think it's like it's just sort of like a gorier, like this is not Oscar bait. This is a fucking gnarly, nasty little number, and they're both excellent in it. 5 feels good. 5 feels good. Again, not a movie for everyone to watch.
Nope.
I will say that. We hope your jaws are on the fucking floor, everybody. And if they're not, put them there. Okay, please. And until next time, we love you very much.
We love you very much.
And please keep it spooky. For God's sake,
just
people.
Do it.
Don't forget to follow us at Ruin Podcast and Crooked Media for show updates. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolati.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.